Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, I remember when my next guest broke onto the fishing stage in a huge way back when I was really in, when I was really into bass fishing. And he has been such a great representative for South Carolina. It's just been incredible watching his career. And he's got some big news, but I want to welcome Davey Height to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Before he says a word, I want to thank him for his service. He was in the South Carolina National Guard. And he also has a son who is an Army Ranger, is currently deployed to Afghanistan. Davey, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thank you so much. Glad to be with you this morning.
Yes, sir. And you're coming to us from your back porch in Saluda, right?
Well, I actually live in 96.
96.
Now, barely in Greenwood County, but I've got a cabin right on the Saluda River,
right,
which is only about a mile from my house, and I do spend a lot of time there. My wife and I were over there yesterday afternoon, but just sitting here in the den looking out at the pond, a little fog coming up off the pond this morning. Makes me want to maybe go see if I can catch one.
I guess when it's in your blood, it's in your blood, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You can't do anything about it.
You know, I could run through the litany, and we'll get into some of the things you've done. What is one thing you'd like for people to know about you that maybe everybody doesn't know?
Geez. Well, that's a
loaded question.
It's a loaded question in a way, and I'm trying to think of a short answer. I guess the biggest thing I'd like people to know is, you know, I just was a guy, a young kid that had a dream and, you know, didn't have the nicest bass boat in the world to start fishing out of when I was a kid. You know, I basically learned a lot of early on, especially in a flat bottom 14-foot aluminum John boat and, you know, on Lake Murray. And just had that dream and kept pursuing it and married a great woman that saw that I had a dream, and she actually had more confidence in me than I had in myself. And long story short, here I am, you know, just finished my 23rd year fishing the Bassmaster Tournament Trail and accomplished more than I ever dreamed of and about to transition into something great.
Yep.
So just a kid that had a dream, and everybody should pursue their dreams in life.
You know, I've read and I've watched some video of you, and when you're talking about it, and you talk about how much fishing has impacted your life, tell us a little bit about where it all started in the early years.
Well, it absolutely started for me on Lake Murray. When I was 11 years old, my parents had divorced when I was about 5 years old. And long story short, my grandparents had retired from the Columbia area and moved up in a small little 1,000 square foot retirement home, and didn't expect to have a grandkid staying with them.
Right.
But my grandparents raised me from the time I was 11 years old on, and they lived on Lake Murray. And I just spent, honestly, I spent, sometimes it might only be 1 hour, sometimes it might be 18 hours, but at least 320, 340 days a year on the water when I was 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. And like I said, I might come in the back door, lay my books down, and walk out the front door and go out in the John boat for 30 minutes. But every day, basically, I was on the water, Lake Murray, you know, fishing for catfish, fishing for crappie, fishing for bass, striper, what have you. Always, you know, just always out there. And I learned, that's certainly where, you know, I learned most of what I know about fishing.
And it had to have been a great upbringing, you know, young like that, and I grew up almost the same way. I had a little farm pond. I didn't have Lake Murray, but I was down there as much as I could. You know, when I was too young, Mom said you had to stay on the bank. I could see you from the house. You know, I got a little older. She let me go around the other side of the pond. But, you know, growing up that way, you learn so much, not only about fishing, but you learn a lot of life lessons too.
You do. And like I mentioned, I wasn't always bass fishing. I could be fishing for something else. But,
yeah,
you know, I ran trot lines, that sort of thing, to catch catfish, and I would catch shad to bait the trot line with, and learning where those shad were,
yeah,
at certain times of the year, all throughout the year. You know, simple things like that that you learn at a young age, where the shad are, where the bass are a lot of times too. So it, in its own way, you know, every moment spent on the water certainly helps you in some way or the other to be a better fisherman. Now, this day and time with the internet and with, you know, social media and with, you know, so much, you can learn a lot without being on the water. I don't think it's still quite as good as being on the water, but But there are a lot of good young fishermen that don't get to spend as much time on the water as I did, and they can learn so much, you know, on their computer or on their iPhone.
That's because they're watching guys like you.
Well, guys like me are certainly more available than ever before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really created a buzz in the high school and college fishing ranks. And, you know, there's a lot of good young fishermen out there, and I certainly am happy to see that. I think it's good for the sport.
Yeah, it is. And, boy, I tell you, the high school fishing has just exploded over the last couple of years.
It really has. It's incredible. It really is.
Well, you had, back in the late 90s, you just had a bang, bang, bang section of your professional fishing career. You won the first Angler of the Year title. And for those of you listening out there that don't know, take just a minute and explain what it takes to win Angler of the Year.
I won my first Angler of the Year title in 97. What it takes to win that is, obviously, you got to have a lot of things go right. And I don't want to take all the credit because, you know, fishing is just part of it. You got to rely on your equipment, you know, a lower unit go out, blow an engine, anything like that can cost you not making it into a weigh-in. There's a lot that goes on. So when you're able to win one of those titles, you realize all the things that come into play. You know, I've been running an Evinrude outboard my whole career, and to trust them, those engines, and win a couple Angler of the Years, a classic, those sort of things, is so important. But I would say what gave me the momentum to start that stretch that you're talking about, I finished second in the 1996 Bassmaster Classic.
That's right.
And, you know, I was the last guy to weigh in, and back in those days, the last guy that weighed in was always the winner because they staged it that way.
Right.
And I was the last guy to weigh in, and I didn't quite win. I didn't quite have enough. I certainly felt like the guys that were looking at my fish had big-eyed them a little bit, but when I kept telling them they were big-eyeing them, thinking that I had more weight than I actually had, and they kept telling me they weren't, so I wanted to believe them. I promise you, I wanted to believe them. But it turns out that I finished second, and it did two things. I mean, it was like somebody sticking a knife in my chest. It really was to be that close to winning a world championship, and knowing that you might not ever have this chance again. But it gave me, in those days, the Classic was the final event of the year.
Right.
So it gave me the off season, a few months to realize that, hey, you know, if you really bear down, you can accomplish some things even greater than you ever thought, greater than you ever dreamed of. And that really gave me the confidence, that second place finish, which almost nobody remembers but me and my wife and my oldest son. My youngest son wasn't even quite born yet. My wife was 8.5 months pregnant with him, and she almost had him
there
to call to see him when I almost was. But, you know, almost nobody remembers that second place finish, but it really did spark some great things. The very next year, 97, I won the BASS Angler of the Year, and absolutely the greatest thing I'd ever done in the sport at that point. The very next year, 98, I won the Forestwood Cup.
Yep.
And the year after that, I did seal the deal in the Classic and won a Classic in 99. So that was a few good years there. I had a few more, you know, off and on over
right.
the next 10 or 15 years, but that was a stretch of a couple of really good years for sure.
You know, you mentioned Evinrude and how important your equipment is. You know, in the Forestwood Cup in 98, day one, you had four fish and your boat broke down. I'm sure that's probably not the way you wanted to start that tournament.
No, it did, but, you know, I was running a really long way.
Right.
And I did have some troubles in that tournament. And
it happens, I suppose.
I hitched a ride with somebody in on that first day. They got me going. It wasn't a big deal. They got me going. The next day, I was able to win that tournament. But I'll never forget the guy that gave me that ride. And I told him, I didn't know the first. I knew I had a decent stringer for the first day, but I didn't know how good. But I knew it was real important to get him weighed in.
Sure.
And he gave me a ride. And I told him, one day I'll pay you back for this. And sure enough, it was only a few years later. We were fishing on the Mississippi River,
okay,
way south of that same area, but on the Mississippi, but south of there. And the river was flooded, and this was before Google Earth. I had studied maps and found me a pond that I thought was flooded, and I worked my way in through the woods and got to, it was basically a private pond that had gotten flooded because Mississippi was so high.
Okay.
And I found it in practice and had a really good, you know, couple hours of practice in there, and I thought I had a good chance to win the tournament. So the first day of tournament, I worked my way back through, literally through the pine trees and that sort of thing. And I get back to the pond, and there's the gentleman that gave me a ride that day in the Forest Wood Cup. And I eased up about a cast away from him. I turned my engine off. I said, I guess this is where you're fishing today. He said, yep. I said, well, I always told you I'd pay you back for that ride in the Forest Wood Cup. I'm out of here. You can have it. So, and I left.
Wow.
And he didn't win a tournament, but he finished second or third, and I had a terrible tournament because I didn't have a backup plan. But,
oh, no.
You know, what goes around comes around.
That's an incredible story. The 99 Classic, Louisiana Delta. So you won the Forest Wood Cup on the Mississippi Ripper up in Moline, Illinois. And then the next year, you're down in Louisiana Delta on the other end of the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
And so that's been a good river for you, hasn't it?
It sure is. The mighty Mississippi.
One of the stories I read is that in that you were in practice and you came in this area and you saw a lot of 3 to 5 pound bass, but they were all floating. They're all dead, but yet you stayed in there. Why? What was behind the decision to stay in that area?
Well, in those days, we had a 10-day pre-fish period for the Bassmaster Classic, and it was usually about 3 to 4 weeks before the tournament itself. So you'd go scout out the water, and you say, man, that's a lot of time. But the Mississippi is a very big, big place, especially down around the Louisiana Delta.
Right.
So I spent a week scouting out the Mississippi River down in the New Orleans Delta area, and I found one area that had some really good fish. You know, every classic I fished, I've certainly wanted to win.
Sure.
But there are those that you think you got a legitimate chance, and there's also those that you know, man, I've got to pull a rabbit out of a hat here to have a chance to do well. But I had a really good practice in this one area, and I told my wife, I said, I think I found an area I can win the classic in. You know, I had to wait a few weeks to go back. But then when we go back for official practice, we only had one official practice day.
Okay.
And I didn't want, unlike a lot of people, you know, I think once you've got fish located, it's best not to go check them and beat them up, so to speak. So I had one area that I felt like I could win in, and I didn't want to beat them up during our one official practice day right before the tournament started. So I went and fished other stuff all the way up until the last hour of practice. And I said, I got to run in there and make sure I can get in there because, you know, little floating islands and that sort of thing move around in the Delta area down there. I just want to make sure I could get there the next morning when the competition actually began. So I went in there with just enough time to be able to make sure I could get in there and look around just a little bit, not even fish, and then get out. And that's what I did. And the worst thing imaginable, when I could get there, but there were dead fish floating around because it was just really hot, you know,
right.
August, the Louisiana Delta. And, you know, the oxygen in the water was not good, and some fish had died.
Okay.
So I came in and told my wife, I said, you know that place I thought I could win the classic? And she said, yeah. I said, well, there's a lot of dead fish there. What are you going to do? And then we just decided I had to go back because it was the only place. And certainly, I mean, we hoped and prayed they didn't all die. And
right.
They didn't. It turned out being obviously a great tournament.
Yeah, yeah. And then 2002, you repeated as the Angler of the Year again. I mean, there haven't been many people that do. First of all, there's only been 5 people that won the Cup and the Classic. There's a handful of people that won Angler of the Year titles, plural, and you've had a great career since. I mean, you've been kind of a, to my way of thinking, having watched your career, you're kind of a statesman of bass fishing, really.
Well, I certainly appreciate the kind words. You know, just like I mentioned earlier, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm an old man, but I was a kid with a dream. Now I'm an old man with a dream transitioning into something just a little different. But, you know, I've certainly been blessed.
Well, I can't let you go, and I got a couple more little things here, but stuck in the mud at Winya Bay.
Yeah, that, like I mentioned, that's one of those things that happens that can just change your year. You know, if you're trying to win Angler of the Year, if you're trying to make the Classic, it's better to laugh about it now than to cry about it, and that's what I did at the time. Instead of crying about it, you know, I made a post on social media.
You did.
And it's the biggest thing I've ever done on social media. I mean, people love to see you win, and they like to see you crash sometimes too, I guess. But
it
was, you know, I made a turn that a little, not even a shortcut, so to speak, but I made a bad turn, I guess you can say, and it's the only little half-mile stretch I ran the whole week that I hadn't already run and knew really well. But I ran up on a mud flat, and the wind had pushed the tide out, and instead of it being shallow, it was, I don't want to call it dry mud, but it was visible mud, no water around other than just the moisture in the mud. And, you know, it's like quicksand. I tried to step out of a boat, which I knew better, but I had to try.
I tried
to step out of a boat, and there's just no bottom. So,
yeah.
And it cost me the Classic this year. You know, the worst finish I've ever had in a Bassmaster Elite tournament, and it cost me the Classic. I had to fish in the live well to weigh in to do fairly well.
You know, but if you spend enough time out on the water, something like that's going to happen, you know?
Whether it's
in a tournament, and if you haven't ground up or run aground, you haven't been out there enough.
That's right.
Well, you know, we talked about it earlier. This year, 2016, was your last year out on the water, because next year you're taking a step from the boat to the studio. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing going on down the road with Bass.
Well, I'm really excited. I've been doing a little thing called First Look on Bassmaster.com at every event, and being able to talk to the top guys on the final day right when they come to check in, before they go on stage to weigh their fish, so they don't know, you know, exactly where they're going to finish. It's just been a fun thing for me to do. I started that 3 years ago, and I never dreamed that I would co-host a show or anything like that, but I guess it led into them offering me a job working in studio with the likes of Tommy Sanders, Mark Zona, and, you know, just great, great folks in the sport. And it's just an awesome way for me to transition. I never wanted to fish tournaments until I was 70 years old or
okay.
You know, 65 years old, anything like that. You know, some guys do, and more power to them. But you wonder, and you have to laugh when people ask you, what are you going to do when you retire from fishing? Because most people retire and go fishing more.
Right.
That sort of thing. So it's not an easy transition, and I wanted to transition into something, and this is just a golden opportunity for me to stay involved in the sport, to stay in contact with all those tournaments and with the tournament guys and service crew folks, all the people that have, you know, been a big part of my life for the last 23 years, and continue to make a good living, and, you know, just hopefully be a positive impact on some young guys. It's like I make it. It's kids with a dream, and I hope I can continue to be in contact with some of those folks and pay back to the sport.
Yeah, I was a marshal with Skeet Reese back in the 15 Classic on Hartwell, and I think I still got a there's a cold spot there somewhere that pops up every once in a while. It never has warmed up. And you hopped in the boat with him and did a first look, and I was right there with you. It was a neat little thing you were doing.
It is. Like I mentioned, they asked me to do that, and I thought, well, you know, I'll do it. It'll be a good way for me to be able to promote my sponsors, wearing my jersey, my hat, and that sort of thing. And, you know, it just all transitioned into this. It certainly wasn't a plan, but you know, it's worked out, and I couldn't pick a better thing. You know, I've got a couple friends that are about my age that are fishing the Bassmaster Tournament Trail, and they have called to congratulate me, and, you know, had personal conversations with them about what they're going to do, you know, as their career comes, you know, winds down. And to be honest with you, none of them had an answer. And I just feel blessed to have this transition where I can continue to be involved with the sport I love and hopefully make a positive impact.
What do you think it's going to be like February next year when you aren't down in the water? You going to have a little bit of a lump in your throat?
Well, that's a big question. I actually did a live well segment with Tommy Sanders on telephone yesterday, and he asked me that. And the first tournament is in Knox, right out of Knoxville, Cherokee Lake,
right.
And it's the 1st of February.
Right.
And I told him that if it's 60 degrees and they're catching those 4-pound smallmouth like I know live there, I'm going to probably have a big lump in my throat. If it's 6 degrees, which it very well could be, and they're having a hard time catching one, I'll probably be glad that I'm in studio with Tommy Sanders and Mark Zola.
Well, I kind of hope it's cold, wet, and rainy so you can just enjoy being in the dry.
You bet.
Well, we mentioned, you know, you've had a great career and all, but you've been a great dad. You got two great sons. I mean, you know, like we mentioned earlier, your first son is oldest son's over in Afghanistan. He's an Army Ranger. I saw where he completed jump school. And frankly, man, I tell you, it's got to take something to jump out of an airplane that's, you know, still going forward, still got the engines running.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, I tell a lot of folks that both of my sons take after their mom a lot. They've done really, really good in school. My oldest son, you know, he graduated from the military academy at West Point, New York.
Yep.
In the top couple, 2 or 3% of his class, you know, coming from a little old town in South Carolina. It's pretty cool. And, you know, my younger son, he was high school valedictorian.
Right.
Straight A's in college. And so but then you wonder about how smart Parker, my oldest son, is, like you said, when you jump out of a perfectly good airplane multiple times.
But that,
and a lot of times, Rangers jump out with about 100 pounds of gear strapped on them, so it makes for rough landing sometimes. But, you know, I couldn't be any more proud of both of my sons.
And that's just commitment, you know? He believes in what he's doing. That's just commitment. Now, your youngest son, you've had a pretty good year off the water this year, because your youngest son plays for Newberry. I think they won their conference title, and they're playing. We're recording this on Friday, but I think they're playing for the championship tomorrow, aren't they? Division two.
Yep, they sure are. They had a great year, undefeated in conference, only lost one game. I think that was the first game of the season, non-conference game, but. Been really, really, really fun to go watch him and the whole Newberry team. It's a great atmosphere, not too far away from my house. And when the game's over, you don't have to get in traffic for 3.5 hours, all that sort of thing. It's a great atmosphere, and it certainly adds a lot to it when you got a son that's on the team. And, you know, real, real proud of him. And, you know, whether it's Newberry College, South Carolina, Clemson, or, you know, any other school that's in this state, those kids, the amount of commitment, the dedication, the hours, you know, my youngest son just said last week, I don't have a life. it's a total commitment to football.
Yeah.
My oldest son is committed to the United States Army, and my youngest one is committed to Newberry College football. But they have to do that to be competitive, because other folks are doing that. So it's you know, when you see them, you know, make a mistake out there on Saturday afternoon. Yeah, and, you know, I'm as guilty as anybody. Sometimes you want to say, you know, what are you thinking? What are you doing? You know, you big dummy. You say that to yourself. But those guys are pouring their hearts out, and they're kids.
Yeah,
they really are. They're big old boys, but they're still young men, and they're going to make mistakes. But I promise you, it's not from the lack of effort. Those guys, you know, they spend a lot of time trying to get ready for Saturday afternoon.
And you know, they grew up their whole life watching you committed to what you do, so they had a good example.
I appreciate that.
Well, you know, we appreciate you representing South Carolina all these years in your career. Wish you the best in this new TV gig with Bass. And, you know, it's going to be nice hearing a Southern accent on Bassmaster Live next year.
Well, you know, just real quick.
Yeah.
In the beginning when I was, you know, doing some of the stuff on First Look, people would say, man, you need to try to cover up that Southern accent.
Yes,
and you know, and I'm like, I'm who I am, and there's a whole lot of Southern people that talk very similar to me that fish for a living, so hopefully they'll accept me for who I am and what I am. So
well,
I'm gonna try to be as proper as I can, but I'm not gonna be ashamed of my South Carolina accent.
No sir, we wouldn't have it any other way, Davey. Well, look, I appreciate you being on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Maybe we can get together and do this again sometime. We're praying for your son as he's over in Afghanistan, and you guys there at home. Hope you get to talk to him. We look forward to him coming home, and we'll see you at least at the Classic next year, if not before.
I sure hope so. Maybe before,
Davey. But anyway, you take care of yourself, and we look forward to it again.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yes, sir, thank you. Well, thanks for tuning in again to Woods and Water, South Carolina. As always, make time to get out there. Be careful when you go. Find the back roads to travel. Wet a line next year. And as always, don't forget that camera. See you next week. On Caroline.